A fifth grade Sunday school class was studying the Apostles' Creed, and the teacher came up with a very creative way for the children to learn the creed. She assigned a phrase to each of the children, and each Sunday they would line up in order and each would say their phrase. And it went very well for months and months, a great way for them to learn the creed. But until one Sunday, it didn't go so well. The first little girl got up and she said her line flawlessly. She said, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth." And the second little boy said, "I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord." And so it went all the way through, "and thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead." And then there was silence. And no one knew what was wrong until a little girl spoke up and said, "Teacher, I'm sorry, but the Holy Ghost is absent today." That's not a good thing. But I assure you that the Holy Ghost is here with us whenever we gather to worship the Lord. In the fall of the year 2011, and if you think back, that was the first year of Covenant Fellowship. In the fall of 2011, I preached a series on the Apostles' Creed from beginning to end. And almost every time we say the creed together, it crosses my mind that some people were not here in 2011. And some people who were here have no idea what I said in 2011 about the Apostles' Creed. So I seriously thought about repeating the entire series. But then I gave it some more thought. And I thought that really, I think maybe the most challenging part of the creed for many people are the closing phrases of the creed. And I decided to concentrate on these. "I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting." So, for the four Sundays of this month, that's what I'm going to be dealing with. And today, our focus is on, "I believe in the Holy Ghost." Now, before we go there, here are a few general things about the creed. No one person wrote this creed. Tradition says that the apostles wrote the creed, but that is not true, because the first mention of this creed was about 300 years after the apostles died. This creed was, in fact, written over a period of hundreds of years among a number of Roman Catholics, and it eventually spread from Roman Catholics to some Protestant churches, the Church of England first, and then some Protestant churches in America. The Apostles' Creed is just one of several creeds that were developed by our forefathers, and it's merely a convenient Trinitarian synopsis of what we say we believe, the articles of our faith. It is not a complete theological statement. It never was intended to be. But it's a really good basic one. And it obviously has some archaic words in it, such as "thence," "quick," and here it comes, "ghost." We're going to sing praises to that ghost at the end of the service today. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In fact, we already have sung praises to the ghost today. The word ghost is simply an old English word for spirit. I think you probably already knew that. The old English word, however, has been adopted into our American vocabulary, and sometimes very positively, and sometimes not so much so. Hollywood has loved this word, and they've had a field day with it. There's Casper, the friendly ghost. And then there's the phrase, "I see dead people." And then there's this one, "Who you gonna call?" Ghostbusters! And then, of course, there's Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore in front of the Potter's Wheel. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, that's just fine. Hollywood's had a great time with the word ghost. And I hope you had no idea that you can pay money today in downtown Ellicott City and in Frederick, Maryland, to go ghost hunting. I do not recommend it. Here is what you are saying. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit of the Bible? Well, let's explore that. In most theological libraries today, you will find thousands and thousands of volumes on the nature and the work of God. Pardon me. You will find tens of thousands of volumes on the nature and work of Jesus Christ. But you will only find a few on the nature and work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the neglected part of the Trinity. Yet the Holy Spirit is found throughout the Bible, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Let's see if that does it. In fact, the very beginning of the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit. Genesis 1 introduces the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. That's a capital S. A capital S for the Holy Spirit of God. He is the life principle of the universe. Do you believe that? The Old Testament Hebrew word for spirit is ruach, and that is translated wind, breath, and spirit. We are told that God breathed life into us. The breath of God is the wind of the Holy Spirit. And without the breath of God, you could not be here today. Your love for God should begin with the breath of God. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Now, some people assume that the title Holy Spirit does not occur in the Old Testament. That's not true. It's mentioned three times in the Old Testament. Psalm 51, David cried out to God, and David said, "Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me." That should be our daily prayer, brothers and sisters. That should be our daily prayer. Do not cast me from your presence, O God. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. We need to be on our knees in supplication with that prayer. Then in Isaiah 63, the title Holy Spirit is mentioned twice. Twice in two verses, in verses 10 and 11. Yet they rebelled and they grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned and became their enemy, and he himself fought against them. Then his people recall the days of old, the days of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them through the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who set his Holy Spirit among them? Now, even though that title only appears three times in the Old Testament, God's Holy Spirit permeates the Old Testament. For instance, he empowered individuals to do great things. He reacted against immorality. He endowed men and women with artistic skills. He inspired the judges, the kings, the prophets. The Holy Spirit brought wisdom, He brought courage, and He brought supernatural knowledge to some people. In fact, the Holy Spirit changed men's hearts. And He represented the presence of God everywhere. And I think this is what David had in mind when he said in Psalm 39, "Where can I go from your Spirit?" Capital S. Where can I flee from your presence? He is everywhere. Do you believe it? You say you do. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know this and not forget it. Today, God's Holy Spirit empowers you. Hallelujah. God's Holy Spirit reacts to your immorality. God's Holy Spirit gives some of you artistic abilities. He inspires you. Don't you love that? He brings you wisdom when you need it the most. He brings you courage when you are most afraid. God's Holy Spirit can even give you supernatural knowledge. Do you believe it? And God's Holy Spirit can change your stony heart. We read about the Holy Ghost frequently in the Bible, and we may not even realize it because there are so many symbolic words for the Holy Spirit. And we've already talked about some of them this morning. Wind and breath. Here are some others. Fire. A dove. Olive oil. Living water. All symbols for the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit, capital S, permeates His Word. And man responded to the Holy Spirit in a variety of ways. Sometimes man responded in terror and trembling, in awe. Sometimes in ecstasy. Sometimes in fainting. Sometimes in exaltation. If you really get in touch with the Holy Ghost, all of that can happen to you today. Do you believe that? Or tomorrow. And why do I say tomorrow? Because over and over, the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, promises that something new and better is going to come. The most enjoyable things are yet in our future. In the Old Testament, it was the coming of the Messiah. Oh, they just longed for the coming of the Messiah. But they also, in the Old Testament, talked about the Holy Spirit. Listen to Isaiah 44, verse 1, where God is speaking to Jacob, and God says, "I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit," with a capital S. "I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." And this is Ezekiel 36. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit," lowercase s, "in you." Anybody need a new lowercase s spirit? "I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will pour out my Spirit," capital S, "in you." Anybody need a capital S spirit in you? "I will pour it out in you, and I will move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." And this is from Ezekiel 39. "I will no longer hide my face from them, for I will pour out my Spirit," capital S, "on the house of Israel," declares the Sovereign Lord. And this is one you should definitely know because it came from Joel. Hello? Joel. Anybody recognize the book of Joel? This is Joel 2, verse 28. I will pour out my spirit, capital S, on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Do you believe it? You say you do. You say, I believe in the Holy Ghost. Do you believe in all of that? And that's just the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Something new and better did come in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit empowered Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ transferred that power to His church. Wake up, folks. Talking about you. He transferred His power to you. John called Him Counselor. Anybody need a counselor? Jesus described Him as Comforter. Anybody need a comforter? And also an Advocate. Everybody needs an advocate. We're told in Romans that the Holy Spirit raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what you're saying you believe. It's through the Holy Spirit that you and I were born again. Amen, somebody. Come on, come on. Through Him we receive gifts to use in the body of Christ, and some of them are supernatural gifts. Do you believe that? That's what you say you believe if you say you believe in the Holy Ghost. We inherit and we cultivate attributes of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and they're called fruits of the Spirit. And our very bodies become the dwelling place, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 4:5, God sent the Spirit, capital S, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls Abba, Father. When you say that you believe in the Holy Ghost, you are saying that you believe all of that. Wow! Do you? I hope so. Now here's something you already know. You're not really holy. But God wants you to be. And so God sends His Holy Spirit to sanctify you. And that means that God did and is doing what you cannot do. Because of it, you are a saint. That's right. We are saints. According to the Bible, those whom God makes holy are saints. Here are just two examples, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. Psalm 30, sing to the Lord, you saints of His. Arby read it earlier today. Or Judy read it earlier today. Somebody read it earlier today. I think. Sing to the Lord, you saints of His. Praise His holy name. Romans 8:28. And He who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, capital S, because the Spirit, capital S, intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. What did you do to become a saint? Nothing. Nothing. God did it all. He initiated it, and He sustains it, and He got close enough to you to just rub off a little bit on you so that some of His perfect holiness dwells in you. Your job is to let it out. Amen. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it feels like a warm light, and it just energizes you, and it makes you want to go full throttle. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit comes on you, it's like a cool breeze coming off of clear waters in a tropical paradise. And you take a deep breath, And you say, thank you, God. I needed that. I believe, we believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. Believing in the Holy Spirit, however, is just margarine. Embracing Him, allowing Him, living Him, that's real butter. And we all know that butter makes everything taste better. Let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, Almighty God, we believe. And I pray, Lord, that we will embrace all of the attributes that we can know about your Holy Spirit. And we can live them and we can show one another and this world who Jesus Christ is. Because, Spirit of God, that's your role. To bring us to Jesus. To love Him more and more. To fall at His feet. So shed your light on our path, Lord, that we may come to our Savior again and again in recommitment and sing with 1,000 tongues the glory of His name. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.